everybody, and welcome into episode number 221 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And here we are. We have an update from last week, though.
Did we get something wrong?
Yeah. It was me. And I hate to admit it, because my three favorite words of you were right, and I was wrong. It's so hard for me to say. So I found a bunch of articles saying that the state vegetable of New Jersey was a tomato. You remember this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And that's not official. So
okay,
all of those articles were wrong, and I blame them. I should have gone and, I guess, checked the official state nicknames, but they were reputable sources, so I thought. Turns out that it never got out of committee. So it was passed a committee in the assembly in 2005, but never went anywhere. Kathy, one of our hosts, pointed this out and went through and researched all of the bills that it was mentioned in. And but yeah, it never got out. So
does New Jersey not have a state vegetable?
I don't believe so.
Because their state Congress can't even accomplish that. I mean, you think things that are on the priority list of things that need to get done, there wouldn't be a whole lot of debate about that.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's an official federal law that says each state needs to have X number of official state things.
No, yeah, but I mean, how much harder does it have to get than, I think the state vegetable should be a tomato. All in agreement? Aye. All opposed? Nay. All right, the ayes have it. We're done.
I would love to see the Great Tomato Filibuster.
The Great Tomato Filibuster of 1642.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I don't know. So anyway, thanks, Kathy, for correcting that. I will, if it's anything official, we'll go to the official website.
Right.
And lesson learned. And yeah. My apologies, people.
Most importantly, though, when the question was asked during trivia last week, the answer was tomato, because the answer is what we say it is, not necessarily what it actually is.
And for the
rule number three.
Yeah, rule number three. And it's still, though, in U.S. law, based on that Supreme Court case, it is considered still a vegetable.
Yes.
Within the tariffs and all of those things.
Sure.
So, sigh. I didn't want to make it so easy to say which one is it, but anyway, those things. Nick,
you can't get them all right all the time. I
was on a streak for a little while there, but so had to come crashing down eventually.
So as the head of district trivia, I occasionally have, you know, lunches or drinks or whatever with other owners of other trivia companies throughout the country whenever I'm traveling around, just
naturally
meeting up and saying hi and making friends. And one person I met with told me he had not gotten a question wrong. He had not asked an incorrect question since 2003. And he remembered exactly what the question was.
Okay.
And I sat there, and in my head the whole time I'm going, yeah, no.
Yeah, right.
There's no way that's
sorry,
accurate.
Not possible.
So fun fact, the tomato, is the state fruit of Tennessee and Ohio and things, and Arkansas, but not New Jersey. So.
Okay.
So it's officially the state fruit somewhere.
As far as the articles that you're reading now.
Yeah, I had to know. Okay. So, Nick, you were excited about your fact. Why don't you kick us off?
Absolutely. So. The NFL sports fact.
Sports.
Yes, bring it on.
32 teams in the NFL.
Correct.
Since 2014, 31 teams have had a player arrested. Who is the one team that has not had a player arrested?
Okay, so this is as of May, whatever we're recording.
Yeah. This is as of now, and the 31st team to have the last one. Except for the last one, was the Washington Redskins, which was Junior Gallette was arrested in April of 2017.
Ah, gotcha.
Being the 31st. So who is the one team in the NFL that has not had a player arrested since 2014?
So this is a...
Since what year?
2014.
Since 2014.
It's not a super long period of time.
So, no, it's not.
So this is a rostered player. So he is on the roster or in their practice.
On the roster at on the active roster.
At the time of their arrest?
Yes.
Okay, and this isn't counting somebody that was previously arrested and then is playing again. I don't think that happens very often, but...
Correct.
You could get arrested and then not convicted. I don't know what the stats
are. I have what I like to think is a hopeful guess. Is it the Chargers?
It is not the Chargers, no.
Does it list out how many
arrests? It does not list it. I mean, it has some of the high... the teams with, like, the highest number of arrests.
Raiders.
Incorrect. The team without, you want to guess the team with the highest number of arrests?
Oh, my guess would have definitely been the Raiders.
The Raiders is not the highest, no.
Cowboys.
Cowboys is not the highest.
The Patriots.
Patriots is not the highest.
I'm just going through teams I hate.
So the number of arrests that is the highest is 7.
I don't know.
The Colts had the highest with 7 arrests since January of 2015. The Packers were second with 6, and then the 49ers, the Rams, and the Ravens are tied with 5.
Okay.
But you still have not gotten the one team that has not had an arrest since 2014.
I'm just going through my head by divisions.
Can you go AFC or NFC? Can you narrow it down?
I can narrow it all the way down to the city that they play in. Do you want the hint?
I'm trying to think. Like, 32 is just, it's such a scattershot at this point.
There's been so many arrests that it's so hard to keep track of.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't think this is correct, but Seattle.
Not Seattle.
Okay, I didn't think so.
It is AFC.
AFC, okay. The Cleveland Browns.
nope.
Okay.
You all further? It is AFC West.
Kansas City?
Nope.
Don't say it's the Raiders.
It's the Raiders.
Ah.
The Raiders are the only team in the NFL to have not had a player arrested since 2014. They had somebody who was on the practice squad at the beginning of the year that didn't make the team. Like, he was arrested. But yeah, nobody who's played an actual down for the Raiders has been arrested since 2014.
Very cool.
Right? It was one of those, like, literally the article says, you can give somebody 10 or 20 guesses and they still won't get it.
Yeah, that's a fair point because they have that reputation.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the fans do. But the fan, it's interesting how the fan reputation.
The players too.
The players, back in like the late 80s, early 90s, especially, if memory serves.
Right.
But it's interesting how the fan reputations influences how you think the play should be on the field.
Absolutely. Okay. Like the Eagles are a dirty, terrible team.
I'm shooting so many daggers across the room.
You threw batteries at Santa.
No, that's not the story. Oh my gosh! And nobody can.
You booed Santa. You threw batteries.
He was a drunk guy. You can't bring up this. Sports fans that bring this up.
This day in sports history, brought to you by Lindsay.
No, okay. Here's the thing that grinds my gears. Stop bringing up all this reputation stuff that happened like generations before you were born, you know?
Not before I was born. It happened while I was alive.
No, that was before. It was early
60s. You're the only team in the league that had a jail in the stadium.
There's other jails, and it wasn't really a jail, but sigh. It's just one of those things. Once you get that reputation, you can't get it off, and it drives me absolutely nuts. And every single time anything happens in Philadelphia, it's typical. That draft was one of the best drafts ever, for the record, as pundits and everybody said it was just great. Philadelphia set the bar.
This year's draft.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the draft where they drafted Donovan McNabb and everybody booed.
Classic. okay, so go ahead, Michael.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was just looking up when booing Santa happened.
I'll send you articles on
1968,
that.
1968.
Oh, it was before me. Yeah. Okay.
Why would you not believe me on that? I said 60s.
So, the leader, this fact I do have to admit, comes from one of our longtime listeners, one of our very good listeners, my mother.
Yeah, so, Mama Kaze.
Our one listener.
Yes, she's a big fan. So, the fact is, basically, the leader of which country moonlights as an airline pilot?
Leader of which country moonlights as an airline pilot?
Oh, I would have. I have zero.
Like, he flies commercial flights for extra money?
No, well, I don't know for extra money. This is just he loves flying, so he. It says here once or twice a month he will fly for KLM as a co-pilot.
What is KLM?
Well, if I
Qatar?
Can no,
that's a Q.
That is a Q. Yes, it's a different letter.
No, Cambodia is a C. Kilimanjaro is a mountain. Kenya.
I'm not sure what KLM stands for, but
I don't know. It's like that scene in Jurassic World where the head guy flies the helicopter, and it's like, really, there's no one else on a this archipelago, this small island chain that can fly the helicopter. It has to be this leader guy. Just seems silly to me at the time. So that's why I would be very curious that they let world leaders. Like, it's in a lot of NBA contracts that they're not allowed to be on ice because they don't want them to fall and break a bone or a wrist or something. So if you're a world leader, I feel like that's a very high risk.
Well, here's a couple hints. Uh-huh. One, it's a king.
Okay.
And two...
Saudi Arabia.
No. Oh. And two, he only recently became king. So he's been apparently.
Oh, he was
doing...
moonlighting as a prince before he was the head of
state.
Well,
yeah, no, but it says here he's been doing this for the past 21 years.
How many countries have kings?
Netherlands.
It is the Netherlands.
Oh, there you go.
The only reason I pulled that was because they
abdicated his throne.
No, there was like a gif going around of one of the princes like dabbing and the family was dancing on a balcony. Oh,
yeah. I remember when the queen abdicated the throne and
yeah, because you got that question wrong.
Oh, yeah, right. That's fair. But it was one of my first. It was my first year out here in DC.
Uh huh.
So I went out when they had the open house at the Dutch embassy.
Right.
We went out and they had all the pictures of the new king and the new queen, and they were like at like, I think they were at like a Steve Aoki concert and stuff okay. like that. They were just having a good time.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the instances in this company that we've named a rule after.
Oh,
is that we wrote the question, and between the time where the question was written and the question was asked, the queen abdicated the throne to right. her son, made it a king, and therefore made our answer in the question wrong. And yeah. You'd be surprised at how often that happens.
It doesn't happen often, but it happens probably, I'd say, once every other month.
Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's all our fault for trying to be current.
Right.
No, but it says here, this is an article out of the New York Times. For the last 21 years, he's flown twice a month as a commercial airline co-pilot for KLM City Hopper.
Cool. What a skill.
And a lot of people don't recognize him, especially after 9/11. Because they limit access to the cockpit. But
does he come on that? Hello, this is your king speaking.
he actually is on the microphone.
Please, you must obey these rules, or I will have you arrested.
I mean, could you imagine? Like in some countries, that would go over very well. But if you were on an airplane and you heard like, "This is Donald Trump. I'm flying the plane now, so everybody strap in." Like there'd be riots.
They do say that that's one of the things presidents miss the most about being president is driving a car. Like Obama, Bush, I think Trump's even said that, that they just miss driving places.
Oh, as last I heard, Obama still doesn't drive.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, going back to this, he actually says, the advantage is that I can always say that I wish everyone a heartfelt welcome in the name of the captain and crew, so I don't have to say my own name.
Right.
Over the speakers, but most of the time people don't listen anyway.
Does he get paid? Does he get a salary?
It doesn't say anything about a salary. He is an employee of KLM because he has to go through all the training and
right.
stuff.
Right.
Well,
he
we do know that a king is an occupation, so.
Yes. We've had that debate before.
Yes, we have.
Just for clarification's sake, KLM stands for Koninklijke Luchtvaart. Matsatschapij.
For the record, giving us that acronym would not have helped the slightest.
Giving you the full name, it's KLM Royal Dutch Airlines.
Yeah, that's the translation, the Royal Dutch Airlines, but it's Koninklijke Luchtvaart Matsatschapij.
Dutch is a beautiful language.
Which I believe should be our secret phrase.
I was going to say to make that the secret phrase, but it was 0% spelling would have been possible, so I just,
I still like it. We'll debate at the end. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, very cool. And I don't know why I keep saying very cool today. It's just that's the phrase, I guess. Okay, so my fact, I have a few, and I am just now deciding which one I'm going to use.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, this is an easy one, so I have a backup if you get it right away. So according to their stunt coordinator, this isn't like officially recognized by Guinness, but this guy said that they set the record. Which television show set the record for most people on fire at once?
Most people on fire at once. Oh.
For specifically, the greatest number of people set on fire.
So this would actually physically set on fire and not like digitally inserted after the fact.
Yes.
And it was a television show?
Yes.
Because I mean, I would immediately think like Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Okay.
I told you it was a very easy one.
See, I wasn't even there. I was like, maybe that Chicago Fire show? show about firefighters?
Yeah, it's probably not that one.
Yeah. So Game of Thrones, there was a scene, obviously, with the dragons, because, you know, dragons and fire are synonymous. And they set 20 guys on fire at once. There was like a 45-foot flamethrower. So there's like this crane shot.
That would have been the better question, I think, is what's the record? How many people? Because I would never have said 20. I would have said like 300 or 400.
Yeah, well, you know, hindsight. Hindsight.
Yeah, because it's always fun, like looking at these Guinness World Records and the one that District Trivia unofficially broke, or the two that District Trivia have unofficially broke at this point. You always look at these numbers and it's like, what's the longest time jumping on a pogo stick? Like, maybe I could beat that. Like, I'm pretty good on a pogo stick.
Wait, no, I've told this story, I think, on this podcast about trying to break the pogo sticking world record.
Oh, have you?
I've tried, and I...
Isn't it like 3 days or something? Like, insane, or 20 hours, or...
Let me tell you, if you're ever going to set a world record, make sure you look up what the record is measured in before you go out to attempt it. Also, be aware that you need an official person to sign off on this. I just went out in my backyard. I was like, I'm going to set the world record for pogo sticking. Uh-huh. And so I counted to 10,001.
You made a 10,001 yeah. jumps? Wow.
My hands were bleeding.
Okay.
I got really good. I could
knees weak, arms are sweaty.
I could jump rope on 1 foot on a pogo stick.
Okay.
This is a weird skill I have. And then I got home.
If anybody
home and,
has video of that, please send it to the office. I need to see this.
I think we should go to the store and buy a pogo stick and a jump rope right now.
We didn't go bowling from last
week.
No,
we didn't. We should, though.
No time. But yeah, so then I, you know, went back to home and looked up the dial-up computer on the internet, like, and found out that the world record was like 24 miles or something at the time.
Oh, it was distance, not repetition.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I was only jumping for 3 or 4 hours or however long that afternoon was, so there's no way I would have said it anyway.
Man, there's nothing to do in rural Pennsylvania, is there?
Not at all. I need to ask my brother if he remembers that.
The better question is, like, how old were you when you attempted this? Oh, it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I went home to visit my parents.
I must have been like probably 12 or 13. I don't know, fifth, sixth grade, something like that, or whenever the ages match up. I don't know.
All right. Well, I mean, my point on the whole thing is, you look up these records and they're like insane, right? It's like 24 miles on a pogo stick is the record, or the longest Quizmaster marathon, which we unofficially broke, is 34 hours and 15 minutes. Like, a question a minute for 34 hours and 15 minutes. That's a long ass time to be doing anything. So sit here and say, what's the world record for like most people set on fire at the same time?
Yeah, it's obviously
20 just doesn't seem like enough
fires.
And I just had like 50 massively inappropriate things go through my head, which I'm not going to say, but
were you meant to send an email to some host going, hey, we need a quick favor?
I'm not gonna, I'll tell you after the podcast.
Well, I have one more bonus fact for you, since that one was pretty easy. You know, I am not a science expert, we all know this, but you know that neurons are nerve cells, and you know that how you react to things, that your brain sends a signal and that goes out to your muscles and you react, right? Like, a truck is coming, you know to jump out of the way.
Yes,
and that's like an instant thing. So how fast at their peak are those signals traveling in your body? Miles per hour.
Okay. I was about to ask by what scale.
Miles per hour. So it's like instantaneous, you really from your brain to your foot.
You have no frame of reference.
Yeah, lot of miles per hour. I'm going to say 400 miles an hour.
So the way that the question specifically worded is, how fast does information travel to and from our brain and through our nerves?
Okay, 400 miles an hour.
Okay. Michael?
I'm looking up the speed of sound right now. So
speed of sound is what? It's like 2,100 miles an hour?
I'm showing Mach 1 is 767 miles.
Okay.
Nerve cells can transmit 1,000 nerve impulses per second, but that's not the question. Just a bonus.
No. Yeah.
Interesting thing.
I'm going to say close. I'm going to say like 700 miles an hour. I'm going to say somewhere near speed of sound.
You both are wrong, and actually too high.
Oh.
So 268 miles per hour.
Which is still really fast.
Still really fast. Yeah. But, you know, whenever you react to something now, you'd be like, whoa, sorry.
Well, so, okay. So again, that's one of those things. Like, how do you measure stuff like that? Like, what is your top speed?
268 miles per hour.
No, I mean, like, seriously, like, what is your top speed? Well, at a marathon, it's going to be like a 27-minute mile, because none of us train.
Right.
You know, for a world record marathoner, it's like, whatever it is, a 5-minute mile or something like that,
for
2.5 hours. So what is your top speed for like 1 inch? Right? Because that's the nerve firing is only going, you know, 6 foot from my brain to my foot.
Well, that's how, you know, shaving legs and heads and things for swimming, like that .00 can negate some of the reaction time things.
Exactly.
For world-class sprinters, they spend a lot of their time working on that.
Yeah, working on those like split seconds, tenths of a second, hundredth of a second kind of thing.
Are their synapses firing faster than the rest of us?
I don't know. Is that an unfair advantage?
I don't know. I don't know how it all works. Yep. Dun, dun, dun. You've been quiet today, Michael.
Yeah, I'm just honestly, there's just a lot to think about. This. I'm trying to just
he's
absorb.
In quiet contemplation, exactly. Which does not work out very well for a radio program.
It really doesn't. No, it's just I've been trying to look up some stuff as we're going through all this too, just trying to be there.
And anything that you learned?
I learned the state folk dance for California is square dancing.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay. I wonder if there was a, like, what the vote was, if everybody agreed on that, or if somebody was like, no, we need to make a different thing.
I just remember doing square dancing back in, like, elementary school, and those half days where it was like, oh, we can't get everybody dressed for PE. Everybody will do square dancing for 20 minutes or whatever it happens to be.
Cool. I want to find out if I can square dance on a pogo stick.
You can, as long as you do it for 24 and a half miles.
Cool. So what was the secret phrase? What was the decision?
Unless you've got something else, it's the name of that
KLM.
Airline.
KLM, I think, is fine. Do your best.
Do
your best, yeah.
Koninilkce Luktvart Matsatabic. That's with three zhuzhes.
That's awesome. Okay, guys, this is the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.